Welcome to the Fund the People podcast. I'm your host, Rusty Stahl. I'm president and CEO of Fund the People, where our mission is to maximize investment in America's nonprofit workforce. We give funders and nonprofits cutting-edge ideas, research, and tools to help drive equity, effectiveness, and endurance in the social sector. So let's start the show. Hi, folks. Welcome back to your Fund the People podcast. I'm your host, Rusty Stahl. Thanks for being here. This week, you'll hear a few reflections from this season of our show, and you'll hear some exciting Fund the People news before anybody else. This has been an amazing season of the show with, I think, extraordinarily talented leaders from across our field. And I hope you'll join me in thanking all our guests for their time by rating the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. So far, 27 people have rated us, and I hope you'll be one of the 3 listeners who get us to 30. Also, we'd really appreciate a written review. Even one sentence is great. I read all of them. They mean a lot to me and the folks who work on this show. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people can find the show through the algorithm. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts right now on your phone or somewhere else, please just go to the show, look at it on Apple Podcasts as you listen, and click on the 5 stars. Thanks so much. The 11 episodes that preceded this one in season 6 were rich with many perspectives, stories, ideas, and tools. And I'm not going to discuss all of them now because I hope you've listened to them. In fact, I really just want to share a couple quick ahas I had as I reflected on what the themes were that cut across the various episodes and guests. The first aha was this. Talent investing can be really complex or really simple. It can be massive or it can be micro. It can be really significantly expensive or it can be seriously affordable. It can be big transformation of institutions or really small steps by individuals. It can be mind-bendingly conceptual or it can be common sense. This aha occurred to me when I compared our first episode with our last interview of the season. The first episode was the story that Jamie Allison shared about the Walter and Elise Haas Fund during season 6, episode 1. And the most recent last episode with an interview was the story that Elizabeth Kidd told in season 6, episode 11 about the community foundation of the Holland Zeeland area. So the Walter and Elise Haas Fund, also known as Haas Senior Fund, totally transformed itself in order to make big, long-term investments in good jobs in a small number of grantee organizations. The board and staff of the fund went through an extensive learning and planning process together. And as a result, they shrank their grantee pool in order to shift from roughly $50,000 grants that were short-term, traditional kinds of grants, to multi-million dollar grants with 7-year terms. And they created a whole new vetting process for selecting 7 grantees for these grants. In comparison, the Community Foundation of the Holland Zeeland area makes supplemental grants of about $3,000 to grantees and organizations in their, you know, small sort of rural community to help ensure healthy executive transitions. When they hear about it, you know, an executive director planning to step down from a nonprofit in their area, they make $3,000 available to them quickly without much process. They know that it's a modest amount, but they see it as an important signal and money that the organization can use to hire an interim director or hire a executive transition consultant to support the board and outgoing executive. They also do things like they help executive directors to stay in place. So they contribute $5,000 to support professional development or sabbaticals for current executives. It's a signal of their support to these leaders in their community, that the community foundation cares about them as human beings and as leaders. They encourage the boards of these organizations to match the $5,000, but it's not mandated, but it's meant to signal support, meant to be a real support. You know, someone using $5,000 for professional development or personal development, that's a significant investment in that person, and it can go a far way. But it's a relatively modest commitment by the Community Foundation. Either these executive transition funds of $3,000 a pop or these kind of professional and personal development investments of $5,000 at a time. So really a view of, you know, comparing how one foundation really made a complex, long-term kind of commitment to talent investing and really restructured itself in a major way that is exciting, but also not easy. They had to stop funding a whole bunch of organizations. They had to change staff roles internally. They had to change their selection process. They had to create grants 7 years in length. You know, really complex stuff for a foundation to do. Expensive, time-consuming, complex processes. And then you have the Community Foundation in Holland Zeeland just saying, like, we're going to be opportunistic when we hear about somebody in need in this community. We're going to make small dose kind of investments quickly. They don't change our structure, but, you know, they are these kind of quick, modest hits that go a long way. Both approaches are really important. Both approaches offer real value to their grantees. Both approaches are at a scale that makes sense for that foundation. So I didn't mention earlier that the Walter and Elise Haas Fund is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the grantees they funded are there as well. And the cost of living, the cost of doing business in the Bay Area is huge. It's big. It's an expensive place to live. It's an expensive place to have an office. It's an expensive place to break through the noise. It's an expensive place to run an organization. And so it's a different context, a different economic environment, a different socio-political environment between Holland Zeeland, a small community in Western Michigan, versus the Bay Area. And so the changes that were made in these two different stories stand in stark contrast with each other, but really they both are extremely valuable to the grantees, to the communities that are being served by those organizations, and to the funders themselves. So talent investing can be big, it can be small, it can be complex, it can be simple, it can be expensive, it can be affordable. These two stories really just tell that message. It didn't occur to me when I was booking guests and things like that, but looking back on it, I was like, this is funny bookends that we started with this one story and ended with this other story. And then I was, you know, thinking about the other guests on the season, and there was one that stood out in this context of thinking about big and small structural and relational approaches and all of these things. And that story was the one we heard from Jennifer Roller of the Raymond John Wien Foundation in Ohio. She started by simply looking at grantee 990s. She's the president of this foundation, the sort of chief executive officer. And she started by looking at grantee 990s. And these are, if you don't know, the annual kind of informational form that nonprofits submit to the IRS. And they include information about the highest paid people in the organization. And she noticed that the executive director of one grantee was being paid well below market rate. So she had a quiet conversation with him about his compensation and his goals. And then the two of them, the president of the foundation and the executive director of this nonprofit, the two of them spoke with the nonprofit's board chair. And Jennifer Roller from the Raymond John Wien Foundation ended up providing supplemental funding to help bring that executive director's salary up to where she and he and the board chair thought it ought to be. And then she did a similar process of increasing hourly wages for a student fellowship program that the foundation supports. And then they approached her board about providing more supplemental grants to a range of grantees to encourage and enable them to raise wages. She started simple with relationships, with conversations, and slowly worked toward making these wider interventions and growing the foundation's approach. And maybe Jennifer's story offers us an arc from small to larger scale, from starting simple to working towards structural change at a foundation. And even within Jamie Allison's big transformational story of the Walter and Elise Haas Fund, there's a story of starting small. This is what she said in our conversation. She said, "My advice is find the opening, find the thing. Even if it seems like it's something small, that you can begin to interrogate your practices at your foundation to say, why do we do things in this way? Who does it benefit? Who do we want to benefit from whatever it is we're doing and how we design those processes? So find something small," Jamie Allison said. "Start there and you'll never know where you might end up." And so neither big nor small, complex or simple, is right or wrong per se. In the stories we heard, both approaches, you know, are creating real value. And the approaches just depend on context, interest, scale of dollars available, and maybe where you're at in the process of beginning to do talent investing. You know, starting small can help you prove the case for talent investing, show value in little ways, and then that value isn't questioned anymore. Then it just makes sense to do more of it. You know, of course, there's a lot of room for variation and shades between, I don't mean to make a false binary here. There's lots of room between these two ends of the spectrum. I think it's important for us to not get overwhelmed by thinking the problem is so complex, which it is, that the solution is inherently complicated or expensive. You know, funders often sort of over-intellectualize everything and overcomplicate it and try to rationalize it with big fancy language. But sometimes that just hurts your head. We just need to get started and learn. As my daughters might say from one of their favorite films, the great epic drama Frozen 2, just do the next right thing. I'm pleased to introduce our season 6 sponsor, Loftus Partners. Are you frustrated with a lack of progress on equitable pay in your organization? Look no further than Loftus Partners, your go-to source for human resources consulting with a unique twist. Loftus Partners is not just a consulting firm. They are a 100% woman-owned powerhouse at the intersection of HR, organizational development, and social justice with a focus on nonprofits. They've launched the Pay Equity Collective, a peer learning experience that provides capacity building, strategic resources, and a supportive community for nonprofits seeking pathways to pay equity. Visit payequitycollective.com to learn more. Loftus Partners, empowering organizations and advancing equity one collective step at a time. The second aha that I had is related to the first, and it's this. Nonprofits don't have to wait around for their funders or someone else to give them money or to provide incentives in order to begin talent investing at their nonprofit. What brought this to mind was our guest Shahir Mustafa from the foster care nonprofit called Hopewell in Massachusetts. They've taken the initiative themselves and they're expanding the types of funding that they're tapping into, bringing their funders along with them rather than waiting for the government or foundations to give them permission to invest in their staff. They're responding to the job market, to the needs of their employees, and really to the needs of the people that they're trying to serve. So here's the deal with Hopewell. They went from a 99.9% state funding situation to about an 82% government funding 18% philanthropy funding mix. And Shahir offered this analogy of a house, of building a house. He said their diversification has enabled them to put the basic foundation in place, hiring their first HR director, for example. So putting the basic foundation in place in the first few years of his tenure. And now, he said, they're putting in natural stone countertops, nice tile backsplashes, and radiant heating in the floors. Those are his words, not mine. And he gave concrete examples. They're providing $3,000 a year to pay toward employee student loans. They have staff wellness programs that are run through the HR team. They have a compensation strategy where their goal is to pay at the 75th percentile across all positions. Because he said, quote, they fundamentally believe the people doing this work deserve to be compensated for the quality of work they are providing, end quote. They have internal and external training opportunities, learning and growth opportunities that they fund their teams to participate in because it makes them better leaders, Shahir said, and it makes them better professionals, which has a direct impact on the kids and families that Hopewell supports. And finally, he said they're striving to build a culture of belonging so that they can recruit more people with lived experience in foster care and BIPOC people into the organization, the staff and the board. Shahir, Mustafa, and his colleagues didn't wait around for government to increase its indirect cost rates or its overhead rates or salaries in contracts. They didn't wait for a foundation executive to ask how well Hopewell is paying its employees and to offer a grant to enable them to make raises. The nonprofit set its own internal talent investing goals and went out and raised new dollars from funders who support their vision. They diversified their resources so that they're not stuck with only the strings attached to one funding stream. And that has enabled them to take the lead, create the policies and practices and culture they need to stave off burnout and create the kind of happy, healthy nonprofit that Beth Cantor discussed in her episode this season. So funders don't have to make it complicated. Nonprofits don't have to wait for funders in order to start investing in their staff. Those are just two of the ahas of many provocative and really interesting topics we touched on this season and in past seasons as well. So if you missed Jamie Allison, Elizabeth Kidd, Jennifer Roller, Shahir Mustafa, Beth Cantor, or any of our other guests this season, I definitely encourage you to go back and listen. Now it's my pleasure to share our big announcement. Guess what, folks? Here is my big announcement. Our Funding That Works Academy is launching next week. That's right. The Academy is Fund the People's latest program, and it offers you an opportunity to transform your leadership in the philanthropic and nonprofit community. The Academy will equip you with everything you need to ensure funding that works for the people who make nonprofits work. Our premier course is called The Fundamentals of Talent Investing. It teaches our framework, which offers a cohesive mental model and practical model for talent investing and talent justice. This is essential stuff for any funder, nonprofit, or intermediary leader who wants to advance equity, effectiveness, and endurance in our sector going forward. The course centers around 12 engaging, self-paced lessons. Each lesson includes a video session taught by yours truly. And in addition, each lesson provides worksheets to help you digest the information and apply it to your work, quick reads to enhance your learning journey, and deep dives into primary source materials. As a loyal podcast listener, we're going to offer you a special discount to the Academy's course. So next week on the podcast, I will be back to discuss why we created the Funding That Works framework And I'm going to offer you a discount code as we launch the Funding That Works Academy. So keep your eyes peeled and keep your ears tuned right here to your Fund the People podcast.
Thanks for listening to Fund the People podcast. Visit fundthepeople.org and click on podcast to find a transcript for this and other episodes and all the links discussed in the episode. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating and a quick review, if possible, on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people to find the show. Thank you for driving change in our communities. Remember to keep your tank full. Take care of yourself and take care of one another.